that particular gospel passage today quite uncomfortable. It's about the city of Jerusalem. And of course, you've heard the news, you've seen the television pictures, you know what's going on in that land, in Jerusalem itself, in Gaza, in Tel Aviv, in Israel, in Palestine. And so there's a slight sort of uncomfortableness about that passage today. Wars and rumours of wars, the passage talks about. Those are part of what will come, Jesus says. And of course, wars and rumours of wars have beset that particular piece of the world's geography, actually from way back before Jesus even spoke those words in Mark's Gospel. In ancient times, the armies of various empires marched to and fro through that piece of land that we call the Holy Land as it was passed from one sphere of influence to another, as one empire rose and then fell and the next one came, and so on. Various times, its rulers, its kings tried to make strategic alliances with one empire or another, to the north, to the south, to the east. And often they came to nothing, and that little country found itself being tossed to and fro. At various points, its major centres were attacked and captured, and there was a great destruction of its capital city, Jerusalem, which has been remembered down the centuries, which led not only to the destruction of the city and the temple, but also the carrying off of many of the people, especially the leading people, into exile in Babylon. And actually it is that exile in Babylon which provides the setting for our first reading for the prophecy of Daniel, which is written, set in that particular time with its prophecies of what is to come. In a land such as that, where war and destruction and occupation by foreign forces are so common and have been so much part of the history, you can actually understand why people are so desperate for security, for knowing where they belong. And that, of course, is part of the story of what's going on even today. The time of Jesus, the great temple of Herod stood in Jerusalem with its massive stones and its magnificent buildings. And at the time, I'm sure the people then thought that that building was a kind of guarantor of their security. It was so solid and seemingly indestructible. And was it not also the chosen dwelling place of God, and so a sign to the people that God would always be with them, that God would always protect his people? Little wonder that the awestruck disciples of Jesus drew his attention to it. There it was, so solid, so amazing, this huge, great building. Who could not but be impressed by it? Though the land was effectively occupied by the Roman forces, surely the thought must have been this great city and its temple would continue to stand, come what may. But Jesus, looking at that great building in all its stone-built strength, sees not its solidity, but its vulnerability. He talks about how even those stones will be thrown down. He knew that it had happened before, of course, at the time of the previous destruction of the temple. But now he points to a further, yet to come, throwing down of the stones of that building in which people placed so much confidence and trust. In human and historical terms, it came to pass in the year 70 AD, just a few years later, after the time of Jesus, when the Romans finally lost their rag and their patience with this troublesome and fractious little group of people who were part of their empire, and they razed the city to the ground, and the temple was destroyed and remains destroyed to this day. But Jesus was thinking at a rather different level. I don't think he was thinking just of that event in 70 AD when he prophesied the falling of those stones. He was looking further ahead, and he was seeing all of this that was to happen as part of a journey towards what he just calls in that passage the end, which is still to come. Now, when Jesus speaks about the end, I don't think he's talking just about something which concludes and terminates. He's using that word end more in terms of something which is brought to completion or fulfillment, the reaching of a goal, the realizing of the end point of something for which it is intended and towards which it is moving. It is about things being brought to their proper conclusion. And that's what he is looking forward to. The end is still to come. Wars may come, nation fighting against nation, earthquakes, famine, and no doubt many other forms of human disaster. But in the eyes of Jesus, all these things are, as he describes it, birth pangs. They're part of what is bringing us to something new. This is the journey of gestation towards a new beginning. I was preaching on this passage this morning, and unfortunately I hadn't realized until I got to the end of the service that I had two people in the congregation who were about 8 months pregnant, and they would have done brilliantly as visual aids if I'd realized they were there before we got to the end of the service. But that's the imagery that's being used here. Yeah? We're moving towards a birth. We're moving towards something new. And that's the picture which Jesus is placing into our minds with the words that he says here. He tells us to beware of those who say, I'm the one. And elsewhere in Scripture, he tells us to beware of those who say, this is the time, now's the time. He tells us that we won't know the time, and so we must actually be always ready. And as that time comes, whenever it does come, we are to be ready to enter into that new time, that new birth, that beginning of something new. Those stones which stood there so solidly can be pictures to us of all the things that people come to rely on, the things that we place our trust in. The things that we think will always be there. The things that we think will be there to guard and protect our lives. And as human beings, inevitably, because we're human, we have those things. Our friends, our families, the place where we live, the house that we live in, the town where we are, the nation where we are and its system and all the rest of it. All those things, our job, those things which kind of give us security. And I think Jesus sees in those stones symbols of those things which we come to rely on, the human things we rely on, our human ways, our human strengths, our human institutions. And it's easy to come to rely on those things. But I think Jesus is reminding us that those things are fallible. They're vulnerable. Even those massive, magnificent buildings were going to be brought tumbling to the ground. What matters is not any earthly rule or power, not these human things in which we may be tempted to place our confidence, but rather the new rule that is coming into being, that rule that we call the kingdom of God. And this kingdom is not a kingdom which is founded on massive stones, impressive buildings, powerful rulers, or conquering armies. Rather, it is where the reality of God begins to break in and make things new, transforming things, bringing about a new beginning, a new possibility, a new birth. It is where life is lived in God's way, where people seek to walk in his pathways, pathways that are those of justice and of peace, of right living and goodness, of endurance and hopefulness, of generous love of gracious forgiveness and all those other things which are the characteristics of life lived in God's way. And this kingdom time, which Jesus in our passage speaks of as yet to come, the end which is still to come. Elsewhere in Scripture we discover that yes, it is still to come, but actually it's already coming. It's already here. We're beginning to enter into the new birth. It's symbolized in baptism, which our four candidates will renew their baptism in confirmation. And that's about the breaking in of this new kingdom, of this new way of God, of this new possibility. Even now, we don't have to wait until then. It begins to be part of now. I've been through various experiences in my life. Giving birth is not one of them. I've observed it at fairly close quarters, but not actually been there. But, as with any birth, this birth into the kingdom may not always be easy. Those who are to be confirmed will tell us in a few minutes something of their stories about what's brought them to this point. And some of that may have been relatively easy, and some of it may not have been easy. And for any of us here today, if we were to tell our story of how we've come, as it were, into God's kingdom, there will have been struggles, there will have been times of difficulty, there will have been times of doubt, there will have been times of sliding away before coming back again. All sorts of things may have happened to us, things in our human lives, experiences we've had to face and cope with, will have been part of the story, and some of that may not have been entirely easy. And that's why the imagery works really well. Yes, it may not always be easy, but what we're entering into is the new birth, into that new kingdom which is beginning to dawn, which is beginning to break in, which we're getting glimpses of, which we're getting experiences of within our present lives. And for all of us who are Christian, who would claim to be Christian, and tonight we focus particularly on four of you, there is that opportunity and perhaps challenge for us to be, as it were, signs of that new kingdom which is coming to birth in the setting of our daily lives, in the kind of life we live among our friends, in our families, within our community, in our places of work, if we're at work, in all those different circles where we move, that we should be outposts of that kingdom, signs that it's coming. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. It's just there. It's so close you can almost reach out and touch it. It's beginning to come to birth. It's about to happen. And we are signs of it. We're indicators of it. We're first entrance into it. And that's to show in our lives. And so today we pray especially for these four, but we pray for all of us that actually in our living we may indeed be those who are beginning to experience what this kingdom is here and now. Yes, we won't experience it fully until then, whenever then is. But we begin to experience it now. We begin to live within it. We begin to be its citizens. We begin to know what it is to live in that way where God is reigning and God is real, and where the things of God's kingdom are put into practice within the setting of our human living. So we pray for one another, and we pray especially for these four, that indeed we may all of us be almost visibly the signs of that new birth into this new kingdom which is breaking in, and which in the end is far more dependable, far more sure, far more solid, even than those massive stones and those magnificent buildings upon which Jesus and his disciples looked that day in Jerusalem. Amen.